Now we're looking at Sefer Tehillim, specifically Tehillim of the Levim that served with David. Looked at the Tehillim of Asaph. Oh, we mentioned this from Divrei Yamim, listing those. By Yasov Shamotei Aaron Brit Hashem. When David brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim, he leaves a group of Levim there, of Asaph, Achav, Lifnei Aaron Tamid, Ledavar Yom Biyomo, that they would be singing their Tehillim every day. There's another group of Levim that are called B'nai Korach. We have a bunch of Tehillim that are described as B'nai Korach. Listen, the titles 11 chapters of different of Tehillim. That's the second largest. Asaph is 12, B'nai Korach 11. Obviously, the largest group attributed to David. When Asaph and his brothers were in Yerushalayim, where the Aron was, the leader who was still in the Mishkan, which was in Givon, right? David
Right.
doesn't bring the whole Mishkan over, so he's got two different sort of Shuli goes to, Shuli doesn't go to, as it were. Haman, who's a descendant of Korach, is serving in the Mishkan in Givon. There are also two different Kohanim Gedolim, one in each place as well. So the way Divrei Yamim starts it and explains the entire lineage of Haman. Shir, and these are the ones that were appointed by David to sing the Shir in the house of God. Munach Aron from after the time the Aron was moved to Yerushalayim. Yumishartim with name Mishkan, and they were in the Mishkan, again, not Yerushalayim. Shir Ad Benot Shlomot Beit Hashem Yerushalayim, until Shlomo would build the final Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and everyone would come back together. And they all had their appropriate places. Elohim Dimu Behem, this is who led them. B'nai Kati from the descendants of Kat was Haman, that's the name we'll look at. Hamishorer, who's a singer. Ben Yoel, Ben Shmuel, you know that name.
Yeah.
That's Shmuel Anabi. So Shmuel's son is Yoel. Shmuel's grandson is Haman. Ben Elkanah, right? That's father of Shmuel. Ben Yerucham, Ben Eliel, Ben Tavach, Ben Zof, Ben Elkanah, Ben Macha, Ben Amishai, Ben Elkanah, Ben Yoel, Ben Ezra, Ben Zephaniah, Ben Tach. We can go all the generations back. Ben Asir, Ben Yosef, Ben Korach, descendant of Korach. That's the Korach who rebelled against Moshe.
So that's interesting. Shmuel is also from Korach then?
Yes.
Wow.
That's important. Okay. Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kehat, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael, all the way back to Yisrael Yaakov Avinu.
So these are all of the Yemen.
These are all of him, right? Right. So again, so he's a Levi from he's bringing he's from the Kohat family, right? Descendant of Kohat, and he's descendant from Korach. Okay, so Haman's descendant of Shmuel and Avi, descendant of Korach, relatives Moshe. We know that. And we know that Haman was leader of these B'nai Korach in Tehillim because he's presented that way. In Tehillim, the last one that's listed, Tehillim Pechet, the Shir is more than B'nai Korach. Amnatzeach Amachanat Lanot. This is a leader. So it's a song of B'nai Korach, Maskil, a lecture of Haman Ha'ezrachi, going to Haman. And when we looked at Asaph, who's his cousin, another Levi there, he's called a Navi. Go to Asaph HaChozeh, but Haman was not, right? Haman is simply Haman Ashbisharer, Haman the singer. But he evidently had a reputation for wisdom, because when it describes Shlomo in Melachim, it says like Shlomo is really wise. He asked God for wisdom, and God said, I'll give you wisdom and wealth and all that. It says, and the wisdom of Shlomo was greater than all the wisdom of the Orient, and Kol Chachmat Mitzrayim, all the wisdom of Egypt. He was smarter than everybody. Me'etan Ha'ezrachi. He was smarter than Etan Ha'ezrachi, Me'Haman. Smarter than Haman. Right?
They're
Author of
considered very wise people.
presumably, otherwise, it means he's to say smarter than them, right? I don't know who these are. And he became famous. Clears with him. He's even wiser than Haman. So Haman obviously is the wise one. And he is, this Tehillim, at least the last B'nai Korach, is a maskil of Haman Ezrachi, who is the descendant of Korach. And all the other ones that are Tehillim just say B'nai Korach, plural, which is an odd way to attribute authorship. Usually you'd say the actual author is one person there. Well, every other Koteret has, with that as an attribution, it's a person. It's the David, the Eitan, the Moshe, those kinds of things. So this was an interesting article. I don't know who Joseph Ziegler is, or if he's related to Yael Ziegler or not, from a website called Bnei Yehuda, which has a group of
But this one's Zilliger and hers is Ziegler.
that's true. I don't know if that's different
I
or
mean,
not.
that's a different name, but
It
who
is.
knows? Maybe I'm not pronouncing her
I don't
name.
know. Yeah. I don't know, but it's an interesting idea. The idea was that actually when it says B'nai Korach, it's talking about Haman HaEzrachi, this one person. And this is the way he puts it. Baruch Hu, it's clear. Ki'ish Echad, Sherer Kula. It's clear that these are written by one person. The poet brought all these 11 Tehillim. B'nai Korach Hu Shmoa Asaf Sifruti. And B'nai Korach was his pen name, his stage name. In that, when once we realize that B'nai Korach is the plural name, there's only one person there. We know who it must be. Mm-hmm. And because it's obvious, there's no argument because the first pasuk of Mizmor Pechet, that's what we just quoted above here, says that it's Mizmor B'nai Korach Maskil HaHeman Azrachi. We know Anvoto, that the poet hid his name, he was being modest. And Yichas Priruho Lavotav Hagdolim Lumishbarto. And he attributed him his genius to his ancestor. He's just B'nai Ben Korach. His whole family B'nai Korach. Asher Haytah Yidua B'shem B'nai Korach. They were known as these, the sons of Korach. Like Orchei Tehillim, and it's just the editors of Tehillim later, Rishmut Shmua Prati, they specified his name, Ala Achron Be'el Mesher Rav, in the last of his compositions, Hashem El Kizutat Tilot, that were added into the whole collection of Tehillim. So they said, okay, you know, this anonymous B'nai Korach is actually Haman. But I would say, you know, it's not so much a pseudonym because it's not hidden, but I would think of it, the name of his band, right? His band was Haman and the B'nai Korach, which is a weird thing to name yourself, right? If Korach, in our minds, is the bad guy, unless they wanted to have this kind of edgy, heavy metal kind of sound, right?
I thought the whole thing was that you could that generations, future generations could do tshuva.
Right. And that's what we look at. What you know, what were B'nai Korach? What were they thinking? Why are they naming themselves after Korach? What's the point of that? The name itself comes from Pasuk and Parshat Pinchas. Okay, the name of their band. Okay, when it's looking at the descend all the descendants, all the families that went into Eretz Yisrael, the whole census, and talked about it's talking about the sons of Reuben. B'nai Eliav, Numel, V'datan, Reuven's descendants were Eliav, and he had Nemuel and Datan and Aviram. Who Datan Aviram? And those were the Datan and Aviram. Create. That should be. Sorry. Create Hayda, the ones who were leaders of the people. Asher Hitzua, Moshe, and Aaron, Vadat Korach. Those are the ones that were rebelled against Moshe in the rebellion of Korach, Vatzotam Hashem, when they rebelled against God. And the earth opened up, and it swallowed them up, and Korach also, when that whole community died. When the 25 of Korach's people who were offering the Ketoret, they were consumed by the fire. It was a great miracle. And last pasuk, the sons of Korach didn't die. So that's where you get your B'nai Korach. Those ones who didn't die, as
So
Rashi put,
all of his relatives did not pass away.
right. So his descendants certainly didn't,
His
right? That's why
descendants
he,
didn't pass away.
right. That's why he can have this line that comes down to Shmuel, right?
Yeah.
And then Rashi says that they're specifically mentioned because Haim Hayuba Eitzat Chila, that they originally joined their father. They're adults. Shem Machloket Hiru Tshuva, and at the time of the rebellion, they did tshuva. And so they could survive, and their descendants can survive. And I would say that the B'nai Korach He's naming himself as the author of Tehillim. They're called Bnei Korach because they're proud of Korach, their forefather. Right? He runs against Moshe, but they're saying, well, his ideas were fine, they were just implemented wrong, and they're going to do it right. And that's worth seeing that, especially in the through the life of Shmuel. We talked about this in the Parsha class. I mean, look at the actual rebellion of Korach. What was he saying? And it says, "Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahat ben Levi." And watch that, right? Korach goes back to Levi, right? The Tanvei Ram ben Eliav, and the other three in the rebellion, by Kumul de Moshe, and they all stood up in front of Moshe, by Hashim ibn Israel, Chamishim HaTayim, with 250 other men, Nesi HaEdah, leaders of the people, Kriyei Moed, those who were called to the Omoed, Anshei Shem, men of status. By Kalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, and they all gathered against Moshe and Aaron, by Mru Lahem, Rav Lachem. They told Moshe Aaron, it's too much for you. Ki Kol HaEdah Kulam Kanoshim. The whole community is holy. God is with everyone. Why are you making yourselves leaders over the community of God? Moshe falls out of space. He hears. He tells Korach and his people, says, God will tell you, will prove the point later, etc. And it says, Rav Lachem ben Avi, that you are taking too much on yourself. And the Midrash famously expands on Korach's complaint. It says, "Kol Ha'edah Kulam Kanoshim," right? The whole community is holy, which sounds like a good argument. And if that connects it to the previous parsha, and what comes before Parsha Korach is Parsha Shlach, which ends with the mitzvah tzitzit. Right, the last right before Korach is. You should make tzitzit on the corner of your garment, and you'll have a one thread of tchelet, of blue on the tzitzit, and you'll have these fringes. So that's this is a medrash. We know the medrash because before makativ lamala mina inyan vasulim tzitzit. So what is it? Why is it? Why is the mitzvah of tzitzit right before the rebellion of Korach? Why is it listed there? So this is what Korach did. Kavatz Korach. Korach jumped up. Amar l'Moshe and asked Moshe, "Talit shekulo tochelet. If you have a garment that's all blue, mahu shetehei p'tura mitzitzit, shouldn't it be patur from putting tzitzit on there? Why should I put a string of tochelet on it telling it's already tochelet?" Moshe says, "Nope, you still need your tzitzit. That's the mitzvah I'm telling you." I'm like Korach. So Korach said, "Talit shekulo tchelet arba chutim, that the whole thing is made out of tchelet, and four extra threads that you're telling us certainly fulfill a new mitzvah. That doesn't make sense." Similarly, bayit mele svarim, ma'u shi patur. You have a room that's full of sifrei Torah. Doesn't need a mezuzah on it. Amarlo chayav mezuzah. He said, "Yeah." Moshe says, "He needs a mezuzah." Amarlo. So Korach says back, "Kol Torah kula, resh ayin hey parsha," with 275 paragraphs. On I never counted them, but I believe them. "Ain't a pateret to buy it." That doesn't count for top 10 amazot beitechem. Parsha chach mezuzah. One parsha mezuzah pateret to buy it. That fulfills the mitzvah. Amar lo, so Korach says to him, "Dvarim elo nitzdavet alehem." That no, you weren't. God didn't tell you to do those things. Those kind of things don't make any sense. You made them up out of your own mind. Amar, that's what it says. Vayikach Korach, that Korach took. Vayikach el lashon pliga. He, Korach took himself to the side. Libolo chacho. He basically his heart, his mind took him out. He disagreed with Moshe. And clearly those examples of a room that's full of Sifrei Torah still needs a mezuzah, a garment that's all made out of tchelet still needs tzitzit, is an analogy. That's the point. Kol Ha'edah Kulam Kedoshim. Garment tchelet shouldn't need an extra thread of tchelet to make us remember the mitzvot. Rooms of Sfarim doesn't need one more tiny scroll. The whole nation heard God's word in Sinai. doesn't need another prophet to tell them what's going on, tell them God's word. That's the message. That's what Korach is saying, is that we don't need Moshe. Kol Eidaklov Kedoshim.
Danny Aviva Zornberg talked about this.
Yeah.
And the Midrashim about it. And she was saying, like, there are certain Chazal that like Korach, because, yeah, that's the goal, is we should Kulana be Kedoshim. That's our goal over time. We want to be Kedoshim. We want to follow in God's way. But that didn't mean going out of Yetziat Mitzrayim that everybody was on the same place. And that's where Korach's rebellion just didn't work, because it wasn't.
And I think that's exactly the point, is that we were sympathetic to Korach. Korach is right. That's
right.
The problem with reading that, right? We are populist at heart. Okay. And this is Rabbi Sachs saying the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
They were surely right to say all the community is holy. That, after all, is what God asked the people to be, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, right? It should be a melecha kohanim v'goy kadosh. They were supposed to be that. I mean, a kingdom of all of whose members are our priests, nation, all of whose citizens are holy. And they're equal right to say God is with them. U'v'tocham Hashem. Right? That's the point of making the Mishkan. Right? Vasuli mikdash v'shachati b'tocham. You make the Mishkan and I will dwell among all of them. Right, so that Exodus ends with the words, so the cloud of Lord over the tabernacle by day, and the fire of the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during their travels. Divine presence was visibly with the people wherever they went. So Korach is right. But still can't rebel against Moshe, right? There's still some hierarchy. So yes, everyone's Kadoshim, but as you said, they're not necessarily on the same level. So how could he dare go against Moshe, right? Moshe had done all these miracles. Obviously, God was on Moshe's side. What did he think? Rashi says about this, which connects us back to our B'nai Korach. Korach shepikeach. Korach was smart. He could see. Mara alishtut zeh. Why do you do something so stupid? Right? Challenge Moshe. Even if you think he was right, challenge Moshe a bit. It was wrong. Eino hitato. His vision led him astray. He saw this great chain that came out of him. He had this sense of who he was in this chain, as we said before, that goes from Yaakov Avinu through Korach to Shmuel, to the Bnei Korach who are singing in the Mishkan. He saw that Shalshelet Gedolah, that great chain. Shmuel Shakul Keneged Moshe. Aaron, it goes all through Shmuel, who is listed in the same pasuk. Moshe Aaron B'Kohanav, Shmuel B'Korei Shemo. Say that in Kabbalat Shabbat. Shmuel is listed along with Moshe and Aaron. Amar B'Shvilo Ani Nimlot. He says, for him, because of him, right? I'm going to survive because I will have this great descendant. And the 24 Mishmarot later on, the Levium, we went through those in Dibra Yamim, all descended from Korach, all the Bnei Korach. They all were inspired with Ruach HaKodesh. As it says, they're all these descendants of Haman, again, who is the grandson of Shmuel. That's a shel shel gadua. Amar efsha kol gadula zot atidala mobi many said this. All this glory is coming from me. Bani Adom, and I can be quiet. I know what the right answer is. I can't let Moshe take this power for himself. That's where he joined in this rebellion. Shavim mipi Moshe shakulam obudim vechanema. He thought, okay, well, if we bring the with this ketoret, someone will be chosen. It's got to be me. I show Yivchar Hashem Kadosh, and as he says, the one who will be chosen by God will be holy. Tavitala Basman. He figured he's going to be the one, because he's part of the Shel Shalat. Lori Afa, and he didn't see it correctly. Fisha Banavasu Shuva, because his sons did Shuva, were not part of that. They were already alive then. Moshe realized what was happening. That's Korach. And it's where the Torah makes it clear that Korach considered himself part of this chain, right? Because you look at the beginning of Parsha Korach, Datan Aviram are simply B'nai Eliav, regular patronymic. Korach is Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehat ben Levi. He's part of this chain. He saw himself as part of this chain. And he really was a child of his ancestors, right? And the Torah might have gone further, Rashi puts it. It says Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehat ben Levi goes back to Levi, but not further. Yizkir ben Yaakov doesn't go back one more generation back to Yaakov, where Divrei did back to Israel. Yaakov, as it were, said, I don't want to be connected to Korach in this rebellion. That Yaakov said, I don't want to be part of that. It's as Yaakov's bracha to Levi was, Kalam al-techad kvodi. Hechad nizkar Korach, but he is in fact the ancestor of Korach, and that's mentioned, we quote the psukim from Divrei Yamim, al-duchan Yamim. When it mentions those who were the Bnei Korach who were singing on the platform at the Mishkan, it says, Ben Avisap, Ben Korach, Ben Yisar, Ben Kap, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. And the Medrash, interesting, goes even further. The Medrash says each of their names is kind of a hint to this negative side. Vayikach Korach, Sha'asa Korcha b'Yisrael, right? Korach, his name hints at being at, he split Israel. Ben Yitzar, Yitzar shetriach et olam kmo b'tzarayim, that caused the world to burn, like at noon. And this goes into our discussion in the Medrash, so that everyone's name has some meaning. We can read it for good, or you can read it for good or for bad, right? We determine what our names mean. Korach could have been a wonderful thing. Yitzhar means shining, could have been a wonderful thing. Ben Kahat, his father, Sheka Shinab Molido, they put in the Hakashinab, like saying in the Seder, put his ancestors' teeth on edge, caused trouble. Ben Levi, Gehenna. Like Levi here, using the sense of accompanying, being a good thing, accompanying the Mishkan. Here it's accompanying him to hell. V'chashev Nami Ben Yaakov, and then we could have added Ben Yaakov to that list. She Gehenna, that he basically tricks himself into going into Gehenna. Yaakov said, no, don't include me in that. I mean, yes, there's some potential there, right? The name fits. Shlo Yechashav Iman. I said, join them. And that's the Medrash there. The Korach is, he's not, he's a part of this change that goes back to Yaakov. And sees the roots of Boros rebellion in his ancestors. They're all tzaddikim, but there's a little hint of it there. And his descendants are part of that as well. And I think that's of course what we said before, is that Korach's claim that we're all equal before Hashem, Kol Adam Klal Hashem, is true. That's right. And every one of his ancestors would have said the same thing. And his descendants would say the same thing. We need to protest when those in power abuse power. And we look at the lineage of Korach embodies that. Okay, the first time we see that is story of Levi and in the story of Dinah. Right, when Levi and Shimon rescue from Shechem, and Yaakov is all worried, it's a shandor from the Goyim, the Omri Yaakov, Shimon, and Levi, Achartemoti, that you have muddied the waters, you've muddied things for me, you've made me despicable in the eyes of the inhabitants of the land. And Levi and Shimon respond, this is injustice. We have to fight. We allow our sister be treated as a harlot. Levi does it. He's going to fight when he needs to. And it continues down. We don't have anybody else until we see Shmuel, the son of Korah. And what do we know about Shmuel? All
He
right. When
was in the Mishkan.
I'm
He
sorry?
was brought up in the Mishkan.
He was brought up in the Mishkan. But there's a one point where he go before he's brought up, right? When Chana prays for a child, she has a child, she brings him back to the Mishkan. There's an interesting scene that happens right there. Vatelei ima kasher gamalato, and so Chana brings Shmuel with her after he's weaned. The parim shloshah beifachat kemach v'neval yayin, with an offering with three cows, and flour and wine, but Tevio Beit Hashem, Shiloh, and she brings him to the Mishkan and Shiloh. But Na'ar, and Shmuel is a little kid. and they shecht their par. And they bring this child to Eli, who's, I guess, Eli is probably in his 40, probably 50s at that point. Shmuel is two. Batomer bi'arani, and she says to Eli, who's the Kohen Gadol, please, my master, chay nafshecha arani, by your life, ani yeshah nitzevet imcha, I was the woman who was standing before you. Was there here, I'm praying before God. And I prayed for this child. And God granted my request that I'd asked for. So I am lending him to God. All of his days, he shall be lent to God. And they bowed to God. And so the Gemara on this says, Elana, excuse me. Elana zehit balalti. I prayed for this child. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Shmuel mora halacha lefnei Rabbo haya. At that moment, Shmuel, little kid, Paskin said the halacha before his Rav. He told Eli what to do. Shnei vayishchatu par. They shechted their animal that they're bringing as a sacrifice, and they brought the child to Eli. Okay, why do they have to tell you they shechted the animal? They slaughtered the animal there in the Mishnah. Because they shechted the cow there, that they brought the child to Eli. What's the connection there? Why does the Pasuk need to tell us that they shechted? Ela Amar lahen Eli. But Eli told them, right, you want to bring a sacrifice? Let's get one of the Kohanim here. They'll slaughter the animal and offer this as a sacrifice. Shmuel saw, and you have to imagine, just this little kid who's, in the eyes of the Medrash, he's been learning his halachas, and he sees they're going to go look for a Kohen to slaughter this cow. Amarlehu, so Shmuel tells Eli, why are you guys going around waiting online for the Kohen to shecht? You don't need to do that. Shechita bazar kshera. The shechita part of offering a sacrifice is fine with anyone. Sprinkling the blood, bringing the parts onto the mizbeach, that's got to be a Kohen. The shechita part can be with a zar, with a non-Kohen. I tell you, Kelo Kameh to Eli. So that's why they bring him from Eli and they tell him, Shmuel's causing trouble. We got a procedure. We're going to wait for the Kohanim to come. But no, he wants to do it himself. Amar Le. So, sorry. And so Eli says to him, Manaha, Lacha, where do you know this? Wait, what are you saying that you can have anyone can check? Amar Le. So Shmuel says, Mikativ v'shachata Kohen. The pasuk doesn't say v'shachata kohen, the kohen does the shechita. Yikribua kohen ketiv. The pasuk says yikribua kohen. Kohen brings it onto the mizbeach. The kabbalah ve'elach mitzvah kohuna. Mitzvah is from the time of shechita, bringing the blood. That is the kohen. Okay, kohen's talking back. Yes, rather, Shmuel, the little kid, is talking back to the kohen gadol. But you don't know the halacha. Because shechita shkeir bizarre. That's how I know. Pasuk says. It's obviously shechita is fine with a non-kohen. Amar Leh. So Eli says, "Memer Shapir Kamart." You're right. You said it good. Mihu, but Mor Halachos At, but you are passing halacha in front of the Rav. You can't do that. Then Kol Mor Halachos Mita. That's why it, passing in front of the Rav is a chutzpah. You're chayv mita. So Chana goes in front, goes to Eli and says, "No, you can't do that to him. Don't reject him." And says, "No, I was the woman who prayed, who was standing before you. I prayed for this child." So Amar Allah, she says to him, "Shav I will won't punish you. Rachame, we have la Rabba and I will ask for mercy on this child, and he will be greater than me. Amraleh, so he says to him at Tazarazah Alti, it says, I this is the child I prayed for. So this is the idea that Shmuel, as it were, is doing the same thing Korach was, right? He's telling Eli, no. We all have our place in serving Hashem. The Zar can do a Zar, a non-Kohen can do the Shechita. And what's the big deal about not waiting for a Kohen to slaughter a sacrifice? Right? Does that warrant punishing the little kid? Well, the answer is yes, because there's a whole backstory. We know the backstory of what's happening in the Mishkan.
Yeah, his two sons are Bliyah.
Right. That's exactly what they're doing, is that they're making everybody wait. They want to be in charge of everything, right? This is where it possibly continues, right? By Elkanah Ramat El Beito, so Elkanah and Chana go back home, but now you're Mishareta Hashem and Shmuel, kid is serving God at Bnei Eli HaKohen in front of Eli. Bnei Eli Bnei Bileal, that's what you just said,
Yep.
right? The children of and Eli's sons, who are the second command, Kohanim, they didn't recognize God and Mishpat HaKohanim at the Am, and so what the Kohanim would do, that there anyone who wanted to offer sacrifice of a Nara Kohen and one of the Kohen's kids would come, Bashel Basar as they're cooking the meat, Bamazleg, Shlosh Shinayim Bedo, and the Bnei Eli would come with this big 3-pronged fork. But parur, and they would stick the fork into whatever the pot was where the meat was, and they would take whatever their fork grabbed, whatever meat there was. That's what they do to anybody who comes to Shiloh. And even before they even offered it on the Mizbeach, by Nara Kohen, the Kohen would come, Vamara Leisha, they would tell whoever was offered the sacrifice, Tana Basar, Salot Kohen, give me some of the meat. Mimushal, I don't want it cooked, I want it raw now so I can just roast it the way I like it. Tarun, Yom. I apologize. And the person would object, well, at least wait for the offering to be brought. Then you can take whatever you want. Nafshecha, whatever you're looking for. Amar lo, hiatatiten, no, give it to me now. And otherwise, I'll take it myself.
So who does that sound like?
Esau,
Esau.
right? That's right. And this was terrible what they did, because they basically disgraced, insulted the sacrifice of God. They made every korban into an insult. And Shmuel was serving God, but he's wearing an ephod, that's a separate issue. And then it continues on describing what these Bnei Eli were doing, right? Bnei Eli is a king ma'od, Shema Yasu, the whole Bnei Israel, and he heard what they were doing to Bnei Israel. Literally, they were laying the women who were gathered in front of the Ol Moed. The Midrash says, and that they were making them wait, right? The women who would be bringing their bird offerings after being a nida, they would make them wait because they wanted the real meat. So that's what's going on. It's when Shmuel, this kid, says, no, we're going to shecht our own. And then we'll hand it off. You can go, and then you Kohanim can offer it. He is objecting to this entire abuse of the power by Bnei Levi. Right? That's where Rav Bach puts it. Od Siper, right? The whole story of what's going on with Eli and Shmuel. Ki Eli hayazaken v'shama chamas shayosim banav. That Eli heard this terrible thing that his children were doing, L'chol Yisrael, minyan lachamehem basar mevushal o'achai b'ofen hakodem, that they would take the meat from the people before the sacrifice were offered, as we said, and they also would make the women wait and not accept their offerings at all. That this is not something obscene, this is not having sexual relations with it. That if that was the case, then that's what the pasuk would have criticized them for. And that the only thing that they're like criticized for is this abusing their rights, offering the karbanot. So we're not going to take Vetishkabnet and Hashim literally. The women are gathering in front of the Omoed, Mitzarabatam Kinehem. They're bringing the Kinehem offering, the doves. Him as a vote for Yaldot, those who were Nida or had just given birth. So the Bnei Eli were being lazy. They were offering those karbanot. But they had to stay overnight. And they didn't bring their offerings. They made them wait. So that they couldn't go back home. And the Rabbah said, this is the way to understand the Pasuk. They would make them pray. So this whole midrash, it says that Eli says you have to wait for the Kohen to offer your sacrifice, and Shmuel says no, that was a symptom of corruption in Mishkan. So Shmuel is making the same claim as Korah. Kol heidakol v'yoshev. That's why Shechit is Kacher Bazar. He's challenged the status quo. He's challenged the powers of Kohanim. And so Shmuel is the one, this descendant of Korach, is the one who would become the Navi of the destruction of Mishkan. Korach rebels against Moshe. Shmuel rebels against Eli. And that's why Yomer Hashem al Shmuel, Neochid has said to Varbi Shmuel. Shmuel's first Nevuah. God tells him, I'm doing something in Israel, Asher Kol Shabo. That's the is not. Anybody who hears it, his ears will ring. That's the day I will destroy all of the house of Eli. I will judge his descendants forever. And that they are cursed forever. And this way I swear to be Levi. That their sins will never be forgiven for all the karbanot they will try to offer. And similarly, he warns against the malchut, right? He is the one to rebel against the leadership. He tells them, you want a king? Don't. It's just going to cause trouble. This is Shmuel later in life, when the people come to him at the end of his life and say, we want a king. And he said, you don't want it. This is what the king's going to do. You want him to rule over you? He's going to take your sons with some low merkav to Rashab. He's going to make them run his chariots. Ratzulah fenei merkav to, and they'll run before his chariots. Lasum l'seri alfim shreim chamishim, and he'll make them his soldiers. L'charesh charishol l'katzer k'sirav, and your sons are going to work his fields. Lasel klim merkav to, work in his factories, build weapons. Play merkav to. And he's going to take your daughters to do the cooking. And your fields and your vineyards, your olive trees, he'll take the best. Give to his servants. And he goes on. This is right. Shmuel is the one fighting against the authority. That's what it means to be Ben Korach. He's a populist. That centralized authority is dangerous and it's corrupted. And so his grand...
the opposite of Korach.
Well, you could argue that Korach didn't really mean it. Okay, when he says kol hayda kulam kadoshim, he really wanted power for himself. But certainly what he said was kol hayda kulam kadoshim.
Yeah.
Rav lachem, Moshe Aram, you're taking too much authority to yourselves. Everyone is holy. We can all be part of this. And Shmuel does the same thing. But in Shmuel's case, he's right. God's on his side. And that's the big difference, right? He's listening to what Hashem wants. And so Shmuel's descendants, who are the B'nai Korach, take that name. They're the leaders of the prayers in Beit Midrash. They are the B'nai Korach, right? As they said, the 24 ones, Omni Maladuchan. And so going into looking at those Tehillim, I'm going to see how those Psalms reflect this instinct to fight unjust authority. The idea that Kol Adam Kulam Kedoshim, we're all equal in the eyes of Hashem, is going to be part of what we're looking for in these Tehillim of B'nai Korach. I'm going to stop here because I have to actually write those essays about the Tehillim, but we're going to go on to that hopefully next week.
Yeah, thank you so much.